Okay, Rabotai, welcome. I want to continue our talks that we started in trying to understand our approach towards Chazal, specifically to Rashi Baal Peh, the Hakamim's assessments that they made, not in halakha. In halakha, we have no questions. But a lot of times they made statements that had to do with science or tonight you'll see zoology. Are we bound to those statements? As an example, the Torah clearly says by kosher fish. The fish is very easy to identify as kosher. Just needs fins and scales. It's napir bekaskeset. It doesn't need shechita. It doesn't need salting. It doesn't need any preparations. We do have the seasons. Fins and scales, you can even eat the fish raw. It doesn't even need to be cooked. Very simple. Snapir v'kaskis. Whereas if you were looking for a piece of meat, very, very difficult to find a kosher piece of meat. You have all the tarfiyot and all the halakhot of shechita. And then you have to salt it to get the blood out. Meat is a whole production. That's what the Gemara Chonin says. Ama'ares lo yochal basar. And Ama'ares shouldn't eat meat. Why? Why do they tell the Ama'ares he should be vegan? Not because they're against the Ama'ares eating meat. But the reason is because he's not going to know how to kosher it. He's not going to hold the halakhot. There's a good chance he's going to end up eating something not kosher. So Ama'ares asur lo yochal basar. So we should eat fish. Very easy. Fish is the food of the Ama'aris. It's not pir v'kaskeset. Baruch atah Adonai, Elohim melech haolam, hamelech hakol nehem.
Amen.
Comes the Gemara in Nida. And the Gemara, for whatever reason, sticks its neck out. Didn't have to do this. But it took a risk. And the Gemara says that any fish that has kaskeset automatically has snapir. So you don't need to look for two signs. So the Torah Shema'al Peh cuts the Torah Simanim in half and says, forget about snapir. Just look for kaskeset. And if you find kaskeset, there's a guarantee, Hazal say, there's going to be a snapir. That means you walk into a fish store. It's not necessarily a kosher fish store. And you tell the clerk, where's your fish? It's over there in the freezer over there. You go to the freezer. You see a fish that only has scales. You say, excuse me, sir, this fish over here, do you know if it had fins? Say, listen, buddy, this is the way it came. We put it in the freezer. I'm not a, you know... I'm not a veterinarian, I don't know all the fish. This is the way it is. You want it, you want it, you don't want it, you don't want it. Halakha, can I buy the fish? 100% the Gemara says. Why? Because if it has scales, it has fins. I wear the fins, I don't know what happened to the fins. It's not my problem. That's a Kabbalah that Hazalad. I know you're going to ask me the question. Oh, so if all you need is scales, so why did I write fins? That's what just right. Coach, you're supposed to be kaskeset. Gemara's question. Gemara says, Yagdir Torah V'Yadir. Torah wrote a few extra words, so when you read the extra words, you get extra credit. If you just would read the word Kaskeset, you get one mitzvah. Now that you read, Snapir V'Kaskeset, oh, it's the extra word of Torah, Yagdir Torah V'Yadir. You get an extra word, extra derash in the Torah, whatever that means, Yagdir Torah V'Yadir. So that's a class in itself, that the Torah writes an extra word as if I don't have enough zichuyot. As if there's not enough words in the Torah that I need extra superfluous words to give me a Yagdir Torah V'Yadir. But okay, fine. Now you can imagine the Bible critics, when they saw this Gemara, they couldn't wait to prove it wrong. And it's very easy to prove it wrong. You just have to find one fish anywhere in the world that has scales and does not have fins, and you've officially proven Hazal wrong. Now, once you've done that, you've now put question in all of Hazal's state. Because once where they can be wrong once, so now already you have to take into consideration everything that they said. Okay, now we're about 2,500 years from that Ma'amar. Has it been disproven yet? That's my question. Now, as we speak, there's Bible critics 20,000 leagues under the sea in their scuba tanks with their goggles, and they're looking for the fish. I have no doubt they're looking for the fish. But besides those guys, has it been found outside of these critics? Is there a fish? Today everything's easy. You can probably Google it. Is there a fish that has scales and not fins? And see what the Shara Gilgulim says. But before you do that, because you're going to need the Google in a second, I want to refer to you to a Ma'adanei Yom Tov. Ma'adanei Yom Tov is the Tosfot Yom Tov. He wrote a sefer called Ma'adanei Yom Tov. That's Rabbi Yom Tov Lipman. He lived in the 1600s. And in his Perush de Masechet Chulin, Daf Samech Bav, Ot E, he writes the following story. Kol sheyesh kaskasim, Mishnah b'Masechet Nida, Vilkach bekaskeset lechude sagi. It's enough just to look for kaskeset. V'snapir dekatav Rahmana. So why did Rahmana write snapir? Amre b'gemara dechtiva. He gives the reason of the Gemara. Amri nan dechtiva mishum yegdil Torah v'yadir. Va'ani tells a story now. Bihiyoti av bedin v'ram v'kahal kadosh Vienna. This is when I was in Vienna, being there was the rabbi there. Hevi elai hacham wari arab Aaron Rofe Nado. So doctor Aaron and Rofe. Dag, he brought me a fish. Shenekra bilshonam shtinkis merainos. That's the name of the fish. They brought him the fish, the Stinkus Merainus. You hear that fish? If you want on a date, I don't recommend ordering the Stinkus Merainus on the first date. You might not be ever able to order it because he said they brought him this Stinkus Merainus. The Nimsa Biyamas Faradi. So it's in one of the waters by Spain. Sama Mavet. It's a poisonous fish. The pharmacies or the doctors, they know how to extract the poison from the Stinkus Merainus. And they make medicines out of it. Medicinal fish. It has a spine. It has a wide head. Al kol gufo. I will tell you, you could Google this now. Stinkus Merainus. See what comes up. You have a picture of it, anybody? Anybody have their Google over there? Stinkus Merainus. You see the picture of it. So he says it has scales. Al kol gufo. Ve'en lo shum snapir. And it doesn't have a snapir. It doesn't have fins. Ve'yesh lo arba laglayim. It has four legs. So he asked me what's the, so they found it. They found the Stinkus Merainus. That's the anti-Hazal fish. That's the fish they were looking for 2,500 years. It reached Vienna to the Baal Ma'adanei Yom Tov, and the guy came, Rabbi Aaron Arofer, and he showed him, here it is. What are we going to do with this now? This question bothered Rav Yonatan Eibishitz. In Kreti Upleti, in Siman Pegima, that's where Shulchan Aruch writes the halakha that all you need is scales. So in Siman Pegima in Shulchan Aruch, you're a de'a halakha gima lohe. Where Shulchan Aruch says you just need kaskasim, so Kreti Pleti comes along and says, I the shtikas manainas. So he says, Hiddush. It's a big Hiddush. He says that which Chazal said, that every fish that has scales, has fins, they meant rov. The majority. They didn't mean it conclusively that every single fish, they meant there's a rov. And since our Torah follows rov, and rov is already a psak, and therefore I could be noheg like the rov. So if I find a fish in the fish store, and I don't know if it has fins or not, and I see it has scales, I can assume that it's part of the rov. It's rov fish, and overwhelmingly, rov fish have this, fins and scales, and that's the chiddush of Chazal. Chazal was saying that they know it's a rov. Now that's a chiddush as well, by the way. How do they know it's a rov? Did they check every fish? But that's the case. So therefore he says, so don't be shocked that they found the shtikas marinos that this is the miut. Now once you know it's in the miut, you can't eat it, obviously. But that's not going to have any realm on any other fish going forward. They don't like that answer too much. The poskim don't like the answer too much because it sounds like from the Gemara that they were making a conclusive statement. Although the principle is correct. Guess what? How do you eat a piece of meat? The meat that you're eating, you're relying on it off. They're not checking the meat for all the 70 tarfiyot. They check it for certain tarfiyot, and then what do they rely on all the other tarfiyot? Rov. The rov animals are not taref, and that's what allows us to eat meat. So you shouldn't think, when do we eat on a rov? We eat every day meat, you eat on a rov, because they're not checking all the tarfiyot. Because you assume that it's a... How do they bring a korban olah, for example? Korban olah, they put the whole thing on the mizbeah. The Chidah says a chiddush on this. The Pasuk says, Makeh Abiv ve'imo mochumat. It says if a person, God forbid, kills his mother and father, gives them a haka'ah, gives them a blemish, mochumat. Then the Pasuk says, V'chi yazid ish al re'ehu. Person is yazid, he's mezid. Ish al re'ehu, he goes against his friend, dehorgo be'urma, and he kills his friend be'mezid. Me'im mizbechi tekainu lamut. Even if the murderer is a kohen and he runs to the mizbeach and he holds on to the mizbeach for asylum, me'im mizbechi, take him from the mizbeach and kill him. Don't let him, the mizbeach is not free stay where you hold on to the base. Me'im mizbechi tekainu lamut. So Rav Chidah says, why would he give me such a crazy case? The guy's running to the Mizbeach, told on to the Mizbeach. So he says, V'chi yazid ish l're'ehu, how could you ever kill a Rotzeach? Maybe the guy he killed was a Terefa. And if he killed a Terefa, you're not chayav in killing a Terefa. Which means, maybe this guy that he killed has a blemish internally, and that blemish will cause him to die within 12 months, and therefore, gavra ketira katal, you killed a dead man. So what, every time we put a Rotzeach on trial, we do an autopsy on the victim to see if he was a terefa or not? I don't think so. So how do you ever have a case where the Torah says lo tritzach, and if you Rotzeach me'im mizbechi tekainu lamut, how do you ever kill somebody? He can always claim to the court, he was a terefa. Are you going to kill me on a safek? He was a terefa, prove me wrong. Ela, what do we rely on? Rov. So we kill on a rov. Beti will kill on a rov. And you know where you learned that from a similar case? From the Korban Olah. The Korban Olah, you're relying on a rov because you're not cutting it open. You just make shechita and you skin it and you put it directly on the mizbeach. What are you relying on? Rov. So that's what the pasuk means. V'chi yazid ish ar de'ehu ne'orgo be'orma. Me'im mizbechi. Learn from the mizbeach. From the law of the korban olah tikachenu. That just like by the mizbeach, you rely on a rov. So to over here, ki yazid, you rely on a rov. Good. So therefore, the rov is not a new phenomenon. So that's what the Kreti Upeti says. Rov fish are like that. They found the shtikas malayna, so that's the exception. There's nothing to cry about. Came Rav Pri Hadash. Pri Hadash is in also Pegima, and he tells the story about this fish, and then he says the following. He says the following. Ve'ra'iti b'sifr ma'adan ha'melech. He quotes the ma'adan ha'melech. The one we just... actually, it's ma'adan ha'yom tov. He's calling ma'adan ha'yom tov. He says ma'adan ha'yom tov. Be'perek elu terefot, be'rosh. She'katav she'esh b'yam sfaradi. Dag yechad, she'nekrat shtikos v'raynos. The whole story. V'usam ha'mavet, da-da-da-da-da. So he comes along and says, and the Ma'adanei Yom Tov wanted to answer. Ve'en lo shum snapi, rak nesh lo arba raglayim. Ve'shalu rofe echad. And the doctor told him, Echa Torah masra lanu klal, shal yedei ken nabo lechot sama mavet. Ve'derachea darche no'am. The doctor asked the Ma'adanei Yom Tov a different question. The doctor told him, if you tell me snapir is enough, or kaskesin is enough, this stinkus has kaskesin, but it's poisonous. How would the Torah tell you to eat a poisonous fish? The Rofe is in a different way. You're telling me that kaskesin is enough. That means the stinkus manainos must be kasher. Ah, it's poisonous. Would the Torah, who's derachea darchenoam, its ways are pleasant, would the Torah tell me to eat a poison? That's how he asked him on the Yom Tov. Ve'eshiv lo, שאפשר שהוא מין מורכב אחר קבלת חזל. כל שיש לו קסקס, יש לו סטפיר. So the Ma'adanei Yom Tov answered the following answer. It could be that... could be that this fish came about after Chazal's statement. It's a new fish. It was a new fish. They have new fish. I didn't know there's no fish. So he says, yeah, they crossbreeded it after Hazal's statement. That really Hazal made a statement based on the fish that were around when they made their statement. If it has a kaskesed, it has a snapir. Either stickers when I know it's a new, you know, fangled. They took two fish, they grafted them together, they crossbreeded, they made a new thing here. So don't bring me a question that this is a... this is a new fish. That's not part of Hazal's, rules. Interesting. It's another answer.
He had crossbred
it. Can it? Well, this was found in the 1600s. This fish. So from the times of Hazal till now, there was a crossbreeding. That's what he wants. So that's the modern. So listen to the Pri Hadash's answer. To, he doesn't like this answer at all. He comes along and says, Shari le mare. Hashem should forgive him. Shari le mare. God should forgive the Tosfot Yom Tov for saying this. La'alot al sefer. Then he should write it down in the book. Devarim zarim ka'elu. Such strange opinions. Shekim'at oker tehumin ve'givulin shegavlu rishonim. Now you're already restricting the words of Chazal. You're putting all sorts of... caveats and all sorts of conditions to the words of Hazal. When Hazal made their statements, they didn't say which man, what time. They made a statement cut and dry. Now you're coming, oh, they only meant it ad 1642. That's what you're talking about. You're minimizing Hazal. V'noten makom lit'ot ulefakfek bedevre razal. What is that, boys?
Ah, okay,
that's fine. He says, by saying these type of answers, noten makom litot ulfakfek b'devrei Hazal, you're going to cause people not to be mefakpek, to second guess the words of Hazal. When were they talking? It doesn't apply. They were only talking to a certain... You're dating the words of Hazal. Hakedoshim v'amitiyim. Yekeshem shurkav min ehad efshar shurkevu minim acherim. By the way, once already you're saying one item was grafted, like the shtickers were, maybe there's many of them. And now already you're starting to put, all sorts of restrictions against Hazal. V'klal razal nish'al nofel arza halila b'haz. And once you give this exception, now already the klal of Hazal fell to the floor. Now it's not a klal anymore. Because now every time I see a thing, I don't know if this was grafted, this is cruel. So now already you put a whole question on Hazal. So Pian says, I don't like that. He's going with the opinion Hazal made their statement and it's conclusive, and they were talking about all fish. He had a very easy answer. I don't have to make this new thing. He could have said very simple. Very simple. The halakha says that there are certain fish that have fins in the water, so they can swim. But when they come out of the water, the fins shed. The fins. Not the scales. I'm talking about the swordfish. I'm talking about the fins. So he says, could be this fish over here is one of those type of fish that in the water it had fins. And when it came out, it lost its fins. Oh, he says, "Sha'atid legadelo lehalzeman." Halakha says also that if the fins eventually will grow, even though they're not apparent now on the fish, it's also okay. So the Pirat doesn't have any answer. But v'chi, they went to the ocean to see the stinkers smile when it's in the water. But it could be that's the answer, or could be it's going to grow fins after. And this is the key line while I'm reading this Pirat Hadash, gentlemen. Very interesting. That means you see the Pirat Hadash is giving you a mahalach. He's saying whenever you're going to come into contact with a hard Hazal now against the Mitziut. So our principle is Hazal spoke the Dvarim Amitiim and the Dvarim Kedoshim. And therefore you have to try to answer their words like he says over here. V'chen ra'ui lechapes al ta'anot lekayem devre Hazal. Not to compromise them, or not to dilute them, by saying, oh, they were only talking up until this period, but once grafting started, the rule doesn't apply. So you just compromise the Razal. Adrabah, the Pirat Hadash says, our malach has to be that Razal made a statement. Their statement was for all the generations, and now we have to apply a question to this fisherman. So we can say, either it had, or that's not compromising the words of Razal. After about the words of Razal now are working within the guidelines of the regular halachot of fish. To me, this is very important, Pirat Hadash. That he cannot accept an answer that Hazlam in any way would diminish the veracity or the integrity of a statement of Hazal. You see, I'm trying to show you a mahalach. It's very important to notice Pirat Hadash because he's Gedolei Poskim for Sfaradim, the three Gedolei Poskim you know already. Maran, Rabbi Yosef, Karach, Shulchan Aruch, Arav Hida, and the Pirat Hadash. That's the three Gedolei Poskim for the Sfaradim. Whenever we look at a Psad, we look for the three Gedolei the Poskim line. Not Rishonim, Aharonim. What does Maran say? What does the Hida say? What does the Pirat Hadash say? Menag Yerushalayim follows the Pirat Hadash, as you know. So therefore, this is our rabbis. Pirat Hadash, Rabbi Yehoshua de Silva. This is our rabbi, the Pirat Hadash. And clearly he's telling you that the way of Sfaradim, when they looked at the words of Razal, they looked at it with reverence, they looked at it with awe, and they went to answer questions that'll keep the words of Razal intact. Now there's other answers also. Some say the feet are considered the fins. don't know if you see a picture of it on the it has feet. So someone would say the feet are considered the fins because that's how it maybe swims. So what's the pshat on the fin? The fin causes the legs to swim. So the legs are in that way also. Now all what we're talking about over here is not a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. But none of it is true in this story. Because the Hatam Sofer on this Gemara in Chulin Samech Vav, he says this whole story with the Shtikas Marayinus, and he says the only problem is they never saw it. His eyes saw it. He says they gave rulings without knowing the Mitziut. He said, but now that I know the Mitziut, guess what? He says it's not a fish. So all these rabbis were talking in theory. They never saw the fish. Well, they never saw the... When he was in Vienna, they told him there's a fish in the Yam HaSfaradi called the Shtikas Marayinus. Now, in Mitziut, it's ironic because, bottom line, it's a lizard. And it lives on the land. And it goes into the water once in a while like a frog. But it doesn't have a deen of a... So therefore, the words of Hazal are intact 100%. They were talking by fish, they weren't talking about it's a, he calls it a sandfish. It's like a lizard.
They have feet.
Huh? Like, yeah, you see it has feet.
Feet, fish don't
have feet. Fish don't have feet. So what happened over here? Even though they might have misclassified it, but with all that, nobody said in the whole discussion, not the Kreti, not the Ma'adini Yom Tov, not the doctor that asked them, not the Pi Hadash. Nobody came along and said, Hazal, I don't know what they're talking about. What do Hazal know about fish? What do Hazal know about all the different, you know, the aquatics? What do they know about this stuff? That was an approach. And through the discussion, incidentally, they sharpen the conversation. They sharpen what Hazal meant, although it doesn't apply to this case. Again, this should be a general ruling in how to look at Hazal. Now, I want to tell you something else. This is in the case of fish. There's a famous Rambam. You must know this Rambam. This is a Rambam that it's in Hilchot Teshuvah. It's in Hilchot Teshuvah Perek Gimel, Halakha Chet. There the Rambam is talking about who is considered an apikoros. Okay? And after he goes into who's called apikoros, he says, then you have certain people that are called kofri, kofir. I mean, today we use that word very very lightly. You know, if a person eats strawberries, oh, the guy's a kofir. No, that's not one of the three. But obviously we have to see how Rambam will classify a kofir. It's a heavy word. I mean, he's talking about people that have defected from the ranks of authentic Judaism and have, you know, given up their Olam Haba. Yes?
Just regarding you said about the Pri Hadash and the Puskin Sfarim, what about the Ben Shechayim and the Arizal?
That, those are the later Puskin. But in the early Puskin, if I'm looking at a Halakha, I start with Shulchan Aruch, then I open up Birkei Yosef, and then I check Pri Hadash. That's the beginning. Ben Shechayim is much later. But he followed the same rules. This is a big question you're asking. If you ask Kamben Tzion Abba Shaul and that school of thought, Ben Ish Chai, the Arizal's on the list. And the Arizal trumps all the rabbis that we mentioned. And if you ask the Chacham Avadya, yeah, no, the Arizal doesn't have any more credence than, especially Shulchan Aruch. So those are two different schools over there. You ask me what school I follow? I follow the school that Arizal trumps all the... and we see it. I mean, I'm sure you make the beracha of Anoten Nayaev Koach every morning. Shulchan Aruch says it's the beracha of Batala. You're aware of that. So obviously you're not following Shulchan Aruch and you're following Rav Haida. And Rav Haida is the one that came along and said that Arizal said you have to say it. And then it goes so far to say that if Maran would have known the opinion of the Arizal by Anotel Ayef Koach, He would have been Hoser Bo. That's how much they took. He's finished. Safek Berachot Lakel against Maran, but not against Rabbeinu Ari. Rabbeinu Ari says to make a Beracha, there's no Safek Berachot Lakel. Now, Chaim Avadya, I'm just giving you an example of the Malach HaPsak. Chaim Avadya will say, yes. Very good. We say Yanoten Layevko. Now, Berachot Ariza. Because it's the Menhag. And we have a rule that we don't say Safek Berachot Lakel against the Menhag. With the Chidah, he got excited because he saw Ariza said, Ariza said it. And I understand why. Because the Ariza learned with Eliyahu Navi. So there's no Safek on Eliyahu Navi. He's learning directly from the source. The words of Rabbeinu Ari is not, he didn't say his Psakim Misafek. He said his Psakim Turat Vadai. That's one way of looking at it. No, Ariza is like everybody else in the Kubah, it's nice. But we're going to still say the Beracha. But there's many other practices that obviously the Bein Ishchai will side with the Bein Wa'ari, and the Hakam will go more with the Pshat. But clearly, regardless of Bein Ishchai and Ari, the three poskim are the three I mentioned. That starts with that. Yes?
Even in your daily halachas, that's usually how it goes?
And my daily halacha...
It's not like that usually.
My daily halacha...
Different.
Is a... No. Daily halakha follows the following pattern. Usually we'll take the daily halakha because we have to take one posek as we cannot confuse the as a general rule, we'll take a chama by jazz final psak, as you see. Unless, not the Benish Chai argues, unless there's an Arizal against it. If there's an Arizal against it, we'll always side with the Arizal in daily halakha. We'll bring a chama by jazz opinion, I'm all right. But the Arizal argues. We had no choice. Our custom in Syria was to follow Ben Ish Chai.
So why don't the Chalalim tuck out their tzitzit? Why don't they tuck out their tzitzit?
Who says to tuck them out?
To
Adrabah, you're bringing it out to what I just said. Maran says to put it on, and Arizal says to put it in. That's what I'm saying. We follow Arizal. That's my point. Shulchan Aruch says put the whole Begin out. Not only the Shulchan, the whole Begin, he says put out. And the Ben Wari says, Adrabah, put it in. And on this, Hakam Ben Zion says, and anybody that leaves it out, you're motzilaz on the Rishonim. Because you're coming along to say that you're better than your grandfather. That your grandfather didn't know the halakha. On that, nobody argues. Hakam Ben Zion and Hakam Abadjah, and they all take the Arizal, because that's the Minhag. Again, Hakam Abadjah will take it because that's the Minhag, and Hakam Ben Zion will take it because that's the Arizal. You understand the two? Okay, about that. We can continue. Back to the Shtikas Malinus, or do you want to... I don't want to ruin your appetite before dinner, but this is it's a hashkafa. So listen to what Maimonides writes. Shlosha hen kofrim b'Torah. There's three kofrim. Haomer she'en haTorah me'im Hashem afidu pasuk echad afidu teba achat. Im amar Moshe amaro mepi atzmo. The guy's kofir on one letter. He says, this one letter in the Torah, this hair. Moshe added to the Torah. It's Moshe's own. That's it, you're a kofir. You don't have to be a kofir the whole Torah to be a kofir. A kofir b'miksat is also a kofir. Even if he's kofir in one oath and says, Moshe Rabbeinu added this letter, finished. You're kofir. Means every single letter it has to be accepted that it's from God. Second thing he says is, V'chen ha-kofer b'pirusha. V'hu Torah sheba'al peh. Somebody that's kofer in the Torah sheba'al peh. Doesn't believe, doesn't accept Torah sheba'al peh. And he gives an example. Kegon sadok u'baytos. Sadok u'baytos. They came along and said, no, Torah sheba'al peh doesn't talk to us. Torah says, lo teba'aru esh. בכל משבותיכם ביום השבת. Hazal learned it, לא תבערו אש. Literally, you cannot make a fire on Shabbat. But that doesn't mean you can't make a fire before Shabbat. Tzadokim by Tos came along and said, no, we don't go with that. We read it much differently than Hazal, because we don't follow Rashi Ma'al Pei. Lot about a wesh, you're not allowed to have a fire in your house on Shabbat. That's why if you ever go in off on an off Shabbat, never go to a Baitos's house or a Tzadok's house or Karai's house, because you'll sit in the dark all Shabbat. What do we do before Shabbat? We turn on the light before Shabbat, make sure this light's on. That, what did the Tzadokim do in their house? Shabbat, they shut all the lights before Shabbat. That's why one of the great Geonim of Sa'adya Gaon went on a war on lighting Nerot Shabbat. This was one of his big battles. Why? Because the Tzedukim, what did they do before Shabbat? Lechabot Ner Shabbat. They made a beracha. Lechabot Ner Shabbat. Poof, when they blow out the candles like a birthday cake. Because they have a Kaddish. So Rav Sadia went and he went against them. He said, they have to mechazek this mitzvah. Leotzim liban shel tzedukin. The light in the road. Kamavadia said, that's why the tour, when he wrote the simanim, where did he put the Hilchot Nerot Shabbat? What siman is Nerot Shabbat, boys? Siman Resh Samech Gimam. Rashet Tevot Rav Sadia Gaon. That he paid homage to Rav Sadia. So you never forget, by putting that because Rav Sa'adya was the fought the war. That's why you're aware of the famous Ran that says you have to eat Hamin on Shabbat. And anybody that does not have Hamin on Shabbat, we have to suspect he's a Siddiqui, he says. Mean, why? Because if you went to the Tzedukis' house on Shabbat lunch, they always had cold food. Because they didn't have any fires on Shabbat. That's what we got the custom to have Hamin. Why do we have the custom to have Hamin? Because we wanted to keep a fire on the whole Shabbat to show Tzedukim a role. So by eating hot food at lunch, it can only be because there was a fire on. My point is, so they already veer from the traditional interpretations of Hazal. But it's more than that. Even if they misinterpreted Pasuk, not the way Hazal learned it, and it causes them to come out with a different conclusion, like the Bataruna brings them, Zara'aka lo titen la'avi la'modeh. And they explain it. You shouldn't marry a goya. So they take the pasuk out of its context, but now they're giving a wrong onish for marrying a goya or worshipping Avodah Zarah, which is a different onish. So therefore, these are all misinterpretations. Then he says, "Ha'omer she'en tura me'im Hashem afilu pasukah d'tura shebichtav v'chen ha'kofer bepirusha d'tura shebe'alpe." והמחיש מגידיה. What does that mean, והמחיש מגידיה? It's a very important line. The rabbi from Yeshiva University of Soloveitchik once made a very big talk just on these two words. It was a very big speech he made in Yeshiva. V'machish megid magid. What does that mean? It's two things he says. Number one, somebody denies Torah Shema'al Peh. V'machish magideha. What are those words? V'machish magideha. So he interprets that not only one that denies the veracity of Torah Shema'al Peh, but even if somebody says, no, I believe Torah Shema'al Peh, but the transmitters, one questions the sincerity of the Magideha. Magideha are the transmitters. You machish them, you say, listen, they had their prejudices. They were like human beings like us. They had their, like every rabbi has their quirks and stuff like that. So, machish Magideha, he questions the sincerity or he contradicts the Magidim. Or he finds a personality flaw where he finds that they're not objective in their learning. That's Machish Magideha. You have to be careful from this today. Because today you have a lot of modern guys. They come along and they talk about Hazal. you know, they were influenced by the time. It was societal, it was philosophical, it was political. And therefore they're bringing in all these external causes that brought them to what they said. That's Machrish Magideha, according to Iran. Where you come along and you're putting them as influence. Their words were not motivated by the truth and by the emet, but it was other factors that creeped in and therefore it caused them to shape their opinions. That's already Machrish Magideha. You're contradicting the transmission. As an example, he says, as an example. The Gemara in Yevamot, the famous Gemara, you know, you learned it. Gemara says, guy's fighting with his wife. Okay, that's not such a hidush. Ketata. So he wants to give his wife a get al yedei zikui. He wants to be mezakeh his wife a get. What does it mean, mezakeh his wife a get? He's not going to give his wife the get directly because she's not there. He'll give the get to Reuven and tell Reuven, be mezakeh this get for my wife. You understand what we're doing? As a general rule, can I do that? As a general rule, outside of get. Zachin Adam, Shalom Bepanah. Of course it can be mezakeh. It's a zechut for a person, let's say, to have $100. So I can pick up the $100 and I'm being mezakeh for the Reuven. I see the Reuven in the street, by the way, congratulations. I found this $100 when I picked it up, I was mezakeh for you. Or I gave it to the Reuven. I said, Reuven, be mezakeh, this is for Shimon. So, this is for Shimon. Why? Because it's a total zechut to get the $100. And Zachin Adam Shalom Bepanah. So the Gemara wants to know, the couple is fighting. So already you see the Shalom Bayit is not so good. So the husband says, I'll be mezakeh to get somebody else. And the Zachin Adam Shalom, and it's zakut for the wife to get the divorce. And she's fighting, you see, don't have such a good Shalom Bayit. That's one side of the Gemara in Yevamot. Kufiyut Chet. And what's the other side? No, it's not a zechut. Why is it not a zechut? Who knows why? Why is it not a zechut for the lady to get the get? Kedir Ishtagish. What is the famous rule of Ishtagish? Damar Ishtagish. Tav le metav tan du. Men le metav al midu. What does that mean? Ishtagish said, tav le metav. It's better for a lady, Tandu, to be with somebody, anybody, than to remain alone. Which means a lady craves companionship. That's already an umdana of Hazal. Hazal made an umdana, Hazal made a certain understanding of the nature of a woman. Not based on the society that they were living on. So you'll come along and say, but today, no. Today, ladies are modern. Today, we have equal rights. And today, we have firewomen and senators and Supreme Court justices. Then, ladies were second-class citizens and they didn't have rights, really. So, yeah, a lady was weak, so they said, tav limitav, tav. She'd rather be married to a mukachkin and, some deadbeat than to be alone. Because a lady, there's nothing more terrible for a lady to be alone, and she craves companionship. And therefore, the Gemara holds, it's a chofa to get a get. Because by giving her a get, you're putting her in loneliness. So the Gemara says, Nishvagish, tav limitav. Therefore, it's a halakha comes out of tav limitav. That a get is not considered as a zechut for a lady. It's a chol. You understand? I could throw her the get. Throw the get and give a get bal kurha. But that's in front of her. But I can't do it shalom b'vaneha. Because in habim na'adam shalom b'vanav. Understand? Now you'll come along and say, that was then. Hazal were reacting to, those days. Hey, slow down, slow down. That's Machish Magidea. You're coming and saying, the umdinas or the hazakot that they were working with, they weren't based on truths. They were based on subjectivity. And if you want to change the halakha based on that, chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. Tav le'metav tandu is a rule from the times of Adam and Rishon after Habba ate from the tree, when God told the Habba, vel ishech teshukatech, that you're going to crave to be with your husband, that's a mitzvah of a woman. And Hazal were not talking from external, they were talking from the internal brainstem of a woman. That's the makeup of it. So nobody can come along and say, today, you know, and go tell a lady, I know today, Tav le metav tandu, hey, what are you talking about? I work for Xerox, I get on a plane every week, I fly all over the country, you tell me Tav le metav, I sleep in a hotel alone every week because my husband's alone. I know Tav le metav. I'm alone all week in business. I'm going to change. I'm going to take a poll now and a survey. You understand? The umdinas and the hazakot, if somebody will come today now, with a new way to extract halakhot from the Torah. Let's have a new way to extract halakhot. And you come out with new halakhot that the Rashba never said, that the Kiv Egen never said, that the Ksot HaHoshe never said. We don't stop innovating the new ways of learning the Torah. The rabbis gave us 13 principles the way the Shoshai is going to be taught how to extract Hadushim from the Torah. Kavahomer. I got to create a new one. I have a Kavahomer. It's a new way. New way. Yes, you can make a new way. That's Machesh Magideha. You're putting a criticism in the personality of Hazal. You're Machesh Magideha. You're contradicting the Magidim themselves. You're casting aspersion on the Magidim. That's a kofir. It's a big statement. It's a kofir. That is another the Rav in that talk, they asked him, do you have to accept Hazal's history? There's a lot of history in Shas. The modern and the wise guys, they don't like to talk about the Nes Hanukkah too much, Pach Shemin, because it's really not documented too much in the history books. Pach Shemin, they found one Pach, and it was 8 days. It's not so that we have it documented, but in the secular books it's not. So therefore they don't... Only problems we have a Gemara. And the Gemara Shabbat Daf Kafala says, "My Hanukkah." What's Hanukkah? And she says, "Al Ezen Nes Kavua." On which miracle did they establish it? And then the Gemara comes along and says, "Why? Because Kishen Nesu Yevanim Naikah V'Temukol Hashemanim U'Matzu Pak Shemen V'Chotamot Shel Kohen Gadol." And they lit from it. V'Nik Shemol Hayamim. That's already a historical event that Hazal is saying that happened at the time of Hanukkah, and that's the miracle that we're commemorating. And anybody that comes along and says, "Yeah, you know, it's not so documented. It's not so, you know, that's what they say. You know, if you go to Harvard, it's not so, you know, whatever." And they just do it like that. Just do it like that. You know, history, okay? Machish Magideha. That's Machish Magideha. That you're saying that Hazal, you know, the history wasn't so good. That's your question.
So, like, someone I know, actually.
Some you know. What's his name?
Not much. I'm joking. From where I'm from, the West Coast. So, like, this guy is, like, Mamish argues with you for hours about, like, how he, like, logically can prove how it's... all what you're saying, like socially, economically, and like politically, socially. So how do we disprove these people? Like,
I told you, Machesh Magideha. Open the Ramban.
I know, but that's
how do you know? It shouldn't be more, shouldn't be more than a 5 second conversation with this guy. What would you have 2 hours to spend with this guy for? If I was spending this guy, come over. Explain to me what this means over here. Machesh magideha. Rambam, these two words are very critical. First, he says, kofer betura shemalpeh. I know what that means. Kofer stam, I'm a tzeduki. I don't believe in dotam aruesh. But machesh magideha, you're casting aspersions on the magidim. They were influenced, they weren't subjective, all that stuff. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who you're talking about, but I know the type. That's a kofir, but it's a kofir.
Right, how do you accept the Rambam's psak?
I have to explain. Who's the burden of proof on? The burden of proof is on me, or the burden of proof is on somebody who doesn't want to accept the Rambam's psak?
Right, that's what he's trying to understand, no? Where is the basis of accepting Rambam and the Shas?
If already I have to prove to somebody the veracity of Rambam Yad Hazakah, I need an insurance card from the guy to bring him to the doctor. Even this he doesn't accept. Rambam? So who's he accepting? Ed Gallen Poe? Robert Louis Stevenson? Well, who's his Magidim then? He has to have somebody that he says, who's accepting? Himself, his own brain.
Yeah,
like a Baruch, so, it's his weak brain or Rambam's brain. Well, what was he? You've proven how many books did the guy write? What's his resume? Prove yourself. A guy sitting on the beach in LA surfing, and he says, I'm going to take that guy's one million, he has sun poisoning. I'm going to take his opinion over the. I mean, who's he taking? Who's he putting on the scale? I have Rambam. Who's he putting on the scale? Himself!
Yeah, right.
I was like, about so what am I doing? Yes.
So he's a gopher. Who cares?
The guy wants to be mikurav. No. This guy doesn't sound like he wants to be mikurav. He wants to marhik you. He's involved in rihuk. The big difference is what I'm telling you. I just answered you. There's a difference between somebody that's open to be mikurav. Or somebody that's trying to marhik you. That guy don't make karif. He's not sitting innocently, teach me, I'm looking for the emet. He's coming along to pull you away from your tradition. We're going to talk to this guy?
How do you know? As in, he's just asking, how do you know this?
Right.
Like, I don't know what.
Are
you asking me, how do I know if Rambam said marhish magideha?
No, the whole Masorah of Kazal Tarshad Al-Peh.
So that's your question. You have to open up the beginning of Yad HaZakah, the introduction. Very simple. Go to the introduction, and in the introduction, Maimonides does something stunning. It's amazing that he's able to do it, and he traces from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way to Rabbi Nan Rav Asher. This rabbi taught this rabbi, and he taught this rabbi, and he taught this. And it gives you the exact transmission, dor achar dor, without a broken link, rabbi to student, from Rabbi Nanda Vasher, the Chotmei Hashas, to Moses. So that already we see, and he gives you the line. So it's a little bit of a tradition. So therefore, what Rabbi Nanda Vasher documenting in Shas, it has its roots from Torah Mesinai. It could be. Now, what's the tradition of conservative and reform, let's say? Well, at some point, they broke that line. You see, they went down from Rabbi Nana Vashet to the Gaon de Vilna, and all of a sudden, they cut. So you could start tracing their Mesorah will go from 1700 something, let's say, 1800. But at a certain point, it begins in 1800. There's nobody above them. It's a new Mesorah. Where'd you get that from? Oh, he's the guy that made it up. It started with him. Who's him? Who did he learn from? He's the originator. So also these guys over here, when they come with these new fangled ideas, you have to always ask them, who's your Mesorah? Where'd you get that from? Myself. Yourself. Our Torah is not the New York Times freelancing. My friend, our Torah has to be of a tradition. Moshe kibel Torah Sinai Sarah. Sarah means he transmitted it. The whole thing is based on a transmission. I want to show you another Rambam in a minute. Yes.
How do you convince someone that if it's such a direct line, how could there be every daf and shas and other machlokas? If everything was passed down, you could trace it. Why is there so many arguments?
Very good question. Very good question. I look at it the exact opposite way, by the way. I don't know why you look at it that way. I look at it the opposite way. I look at it that, look at those arguments they're having in Shas. Study the arguments that on the minutia of the minutia of the minutia of the halakha. They're in such details, nobody's arguing on the color of the tefillin, and nobody's arguing. When you put the four parashiyot, that we all agree that you have to put these exact four parashiyot, we're arguing in which order do you put them in. I'll tell you. Most of the ma'lokot are not on the yesod halakha. Every halakha has a lot of details.
If someone lights a fire on Shabbos, do they die or do they get mocked?
You're right. But nobody's arguing that it's asut to turn on the light on Shabbat or to bow to Esh on Shabbat. The machloket is on a detail of it. Which means adrabah, that means the principles they're not arguing on. Most of the arguments in Shas is on the details. Okay, so some of those details became questionable after the Mesorah was given down. And each rabbi has a logical way using the principles to come up to his opinion. But adraba, if you would show me Gemariot that one rabbi says you have to put on tefillin, and one rabbi says you don't put on tefillin. Oh, that is Mesorah. Most of the 630 Mesorah is not up for argument. Don't fall into that misconception. That's an argument with the people. Oh, the rabbi's always arguing. Everything's an argument. Why can't they get along? Everything's an argument. No, it's not so. It's not so. If you start looking at the arguments in Shas, they're on prate pratim. You're right, you're going to show me one argument, it's a major argument, but that's not the rule. The rule, when you start learning, I know you learn Shas, you'll see the Malakot. Why is learning Shas so tedious? Because it's in the nitty gritty of the halakha. It's in the. In like when you're reading a law, so they're arguing in, you know, section 4, verse 8, you know, a sub-verse, like a lawyer, they're arguing one in the line how to interpret it. That's what Shas is. Adraba, the majority, the large majority of the halakha is accepted. And until Hillel, there was no argument. Until Hillel, Shammai argued on Simicha, that was the first argument in So the arguments didn't come till much later on, but that doesn't show that there was a. It shows there was forgetting. There was a little forgetting. That's okay.
Also, the Magidah, that's anybody from. I mean, we have Magidah.
No. Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what I want to show you now. That's what I want to show the next Rambam. That's what I want to show you next month. The next Rambam I want to show you is in Hilchot Mamrim. In Hilchot Mamrim, Perek Aleph, Halakha Aleph. And then we'll go to Parbi, but I don't want to make you miss Arbi. Listen to this Lashon of it. Very important Rambam. בית דין הגדול שבירושלים, ממרים, פרק א' הלכה א'. בית דין הגדול בירושלים הם עיקר תורה שבעל פה. It was the בית דין of Jerusalem. They were the main rabbis of תורה שבעל פה. והם עמוד ההוראה, they're the foundation of rulings. ומהם חוק ומשפט יוצא לכל ישראל. From the בית דין הגדול שבירושלים, סנהדרין, that's where all the Torah came from. ועליהם Hiftiha Torah. The Torah, according to this, Alehem Hiftiha the Torah, that means the Torah is trusting them. Listen to those three words of Rambam. That means the Sanhedrin, which was the Tanaim of the Mishnah on the Sanhedrin. The Rambam's Lashon is, Ve'alehem Hiftiha Torah, the Torah trusted these men. Shne'emar al pi haTorah asher yorucha ve'al ha'mishpat asher yomru lecha ta'aseh. Ve'chol ha'ma'amin b'Moshe Rabbeinu u'b'Torato, Torah shebichtav, hayav l'smoch ma'aseh hadat. How do you execute this religion? Alehem u'l'hisha'en alehem. So Harambam's going to give you the rules. The rules of engagement over here is the Torah was somech. These personalities were not regular personalities. Hiftiha Torah. Ve'alehim Hiftiha Torah. The Torah put a certain confidence in these rabbis, that these rabbis specifically will be able to give the proper interpretations. But who are these people? Beit HaKadosh Yerushalayim. Those are the Tanaim. So it's not every after the Hatimat HaShas finished. Nobody come along now and argue with Avinan Navashe or Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yohanan. You know that, yes? That means it's an amazing sigula here. The Alehem Hiftiha HaTorah. God trusted these men to give the proper Pirush. Stop over here.